Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. The makers of Super Shell Gasoline invite you to Shell Chateau, where your host is Wallace Beery, with an all-star bill of famous guest stars. We switch you now to Shell Chateau, where you'll be greeted by Wallace Beery.
Thank you. Well, I'm very, very happy to see so many people in Shell Chateau again tonight. I'm not going to introduce myself. I still have hope sometime with someone mistaking me for Clark Gable. Well, I think we've got sort of a nice show here tonight. One thing, we've got one of the funniest women here in Hollywood. She was a star in some of those musical comedies in New York a couple of years ago. But I guess most of you folks saw her in the Top Hat with Fred Astaire. Her name is Helen Roberts, and you all know her. She'll take care of the comedy end of the show tonight. And then for singing, we've got a real girl that can really sing. Her name is Lorraine Bridges. Vic Young's been working with her all this week, and you know, Vic is very, very smart about singers. And he tells us that she's really swell. Oh, by the way, they tell me that I use the word swell too much here in Shell Chateau. But I never say it unless I really mean it, and when I mean swell, why, what else can I say? So if it's swell, I'm going to say swell. Well, anyway, let me see. We've got a couple of old friends here of mine tonight. One of them is a fellow I've worked with a long time. His name's Bill Daniels. He's got a job I guess a lot of the fellows would like to have. He's Miss Garbo's cameraman. And he's going to tell us what it's like working together in some of the other big stars. The other friend of mine is Chester Morris. Chester's going to play the leading part in our dramatic sketch tonight. And I think we're really going to do something that's very, very important and worthwhile. It's a war play by Howard Emmett Rogers. Well, I better not say any more about it until just a little bit later. Now we're going to start the show right along, and we're going to hear from a special octet that my friend Booker has with him tonight. And if you don't know what an octet is, it's just the same, only out of a quartet, but a little bit more, you know. The octet is called the Sailor Boys. They're going to sing one of the Sailor medleys. All right, sailors, shove off and make the regular trip.
Why, dear, so I'd rather listen to your
One voice in there that didn't sound like a sailor's voice. It sounded like a soprano to me. Well, I'm going to present an old friend of mine, Bill Daniels. Bill's main job is taking moving pictures of beautiful ladies. Of course, he's swindled through that cam with me a couple of times. So now I'm going to ask you folks to imagine that you're on stage 24 out at MGM Studios in Culver City, where cameraman Bill Daniels is getting his lights ready for a take on Rosemarie, with Jeanette MacDonald and Nelson Eddy. Woody Van Dyke directing.
Make that number one a little higher, will you, please?
Okay. That's
fine. A little hotter on that top spot.
Okay.
Quiet. Get a minute. Lighting on your pocket, please, Jeanette. That's all I can help. Quiet, please. Okay, camera.
That's how Bill Daniels goes to work. Here he is in person, Bill Daniels. Come on, Bill. Now, Bill, you hold on to me because if you're scared, why, I'm scared too. So you hang on to me. Bill.
Okay, Walt.
I want you to be frank with me. What do those letters A-S-T mean after your name?
Well, what do they mean, yes? It's American Society of Cinematographers.
American Society of Cinema... Well, I'll just make it cameraman. Now, Bill, you better explain why you blow that little tin horn there that on the camera when you've got all the lights set.
Oh, he's up for good example. There's always a good deal in the ordinary set, you know. Yeah, well, we're getting ready. Grobo has to make no difference. So when I get ready, I blow the horn and comes out. You marry me.
Okay, yeah. Now, what do you think of that? How long have you worked with Garbo, or have you worked with any other star, Bill?
I guess I've worked with Garbo more than any other person in this business. Mm-hmm. In the 1959, yes.
With Ms. Garbo. Well, that's a lot of pictures. Well, how is she to work with, Bill?
Well, you know, she's ideal. She photographs beautiful and
any angle.
That's right. Never waits a second of time during the day.
She doesn't mind that little horn that you keep there on the camera.
Oh, no. It stays on running around yelling. Once she hears it, she comes right out. She doesn't mind. There we are.
Oh, yeah. Well, then, when she gets tired of waiting, then what does she do?
Okay. Oh, she keeps me moving. Pretty much water, you know.
She does?
She works so hard during the day that we have to work up the meetings ourselves.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, listen, Bill, who's the easiest star to photograph?
Oh, that's fair. Well, all the good ones are easy.
Well, now you said something. You're no cameraman, you're a diplomat, Bill.
Well, I've worked with Garble, Shearer, Helen Hayes, John McDonald, Harlow, and they're all easy.
Well, what's Norma Shearer like to work with?
Norma Shearer?
Yes.
Well, she's very calm, she's very cool. And make sure you don't have to do anything to fix it. But I'll just put Norma Shearer on the screen and we do that.
And then, what about Jeanette MacDonald, Bill?
Well, MacDonald's well, work is cool. She's like one of the gangs of how she works. There's a book that she's away all the time, spends hours vocalizing. In fact, she's been down a whole day to go to a few hours in the time.
Just like me.
Yeah!
Yeah. Yeah, Bill, I want you to tell us about the time you let Dr. Lippy start the camera for you.
Oh, of course, that's silly. Dr. Lippy is Nelson Eddy's manager.
Oh, yeah.
And he's done everything that you accept to be a camera. So one day, he's on the 7th of asking me to let him press the button to start the camera. So I let him. Mm-hmm.
Woody Van Dyke is just smoking.
That's right.
Yeah.
I was friends with Woody. Doctor said he didn't know anything about it, so I finally told him to press the button and he took it to that. Well, he pressed it. Every light in the place went out. The gun went off. The partner got the whole barrel of glass on his desk.
I'll bet he never wants to start another camera. But now I want a little lowdown, Bill. Be frank with me. I've heard a lot of these about the big stars that are sort of temperamental. Is there any star that you ever had any trouble with?
There's only been one.
One? Who's that? You.
Who? Me?
Yes, you.
Me?
Yep. All you do is a fellow. It drives your assistant cameraman crazy. He won't stand still long enough to get him focused. If he does stand still in rehearsal and he gets to the stage, not the same.
Why, Bill, I'm surprised at you.
You asked for a lowdown.
Well, and I got it. Thanks, Bill.
Okay, Wallet.
What is the main topic of conversation right now?
It's the new cars, of course. Everywhere you go, you hear people talking about the new models. And no wonder. Never before have such fine automobiles been offered for such little money. When you get behind the wheel of these new cars, you'll find they're much easier to handle in driving around town. Car makers are
making a conversation right now.
It's the new cars, of course. Everywhere you go, you hear people talking about the new models. And no wonder. Never before have such fine automobiles been offered for such little money. When you get behind the wheel of these new cars, you will find they're much easier to handle in driving around town. Car makers are now recognizing that 4 out of every 5 miles you drive are on short trips right near home. The new models are easier to steer, easier to park. They have better brakes, better transmissions, and even more pickup. So when you're in one, it's easier to do all the stopping, starting, and gear shifting that a motorist has to do nowadays. Whether you get one of these new cars or keep your present car, you should use the gasoline that's also specially suited for today's stop-and-go driving. Super Shell. This new type gasoline gives you the 3 kinds of power you need in perfect balance. It saves on all those starts and getaways you're making all the time. So naturally, each tank full of Super Shell lasts longer. But see for yourself. Begin using Super Shell tomorrow. Well, that was Bill Daniels that just finished the 8th cameraman of Metro Golden Lock. He's not afraid working with Miss Garbo, but he's a little bit afraid of the microphone, though. It's a different with Miss Garbo, but he's a little bit afraid of the microphone, though. It's a different proposition here. Well, we'll go right along now. Now our next guest is a lovely little lady named Lorraine Bridges, one of the most promising young actresses on the MGM lot. Lorraine has just finished working in the new Marx Brothers picture, A Night at the Opera. I'm awfully glad to have her here tonight. Come on out, Lorraine. Come on. Now, Lorraine, now, just take it easy now. Now, I want you to tell the folks here a little about yourself. How long have you been in Hollywood?
Oh, about 2.5 years, Mr.
Deary. I see. Where are you from, Lorraine?
I usually say I'm from Oklahoma City.
You usually say that, what?
Oklahoma City.
You usually say that, well, never mind that, but where do you really come from?
Uvoca, Oklahoma.
Huh?
Uvoca, Oklahoma.
All right. Well, where did you learn to sing in the place that you came from?
Yes, but I studied in Chicago, too. I'm studying out here.
Well, that ought to be good. Now, come on, Lorraine. Show these folks how good you are. It's good. Now, come on, Lorraine. Show these folks how good you are. Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Lorraine Bridges singing Through the Years.
Through the tears
Well, folks,
our next act is a saxophone player. You know, when I was a kid, I had a saxophone until all the neighbors got together and burned it up for me. So I've always admired anybody that plays saxophone. Tonight, we've got a fellow here that can really play it. His name is Nick Dan. He makes the doggonest thing come out of that saxophone that you ever heard. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the boys, Nick Dan, master of saxophone, playing Oodles of Noodles. It's kind of crazy, I guess, but it's all right. Ladies and gentlemen, now we present Helen Broderick and Lester Crawford. Helen's one of the nicest girls that you'd ever want to meet. You'd never believe it from the part that she plays in Pixies. Why, do you remember how she pestered poor Eddie Horton in Top Hat? He was playing her husband. Well, tonight Helen's doing a famous sketch. She has a husband in this act, too. This time it's her real husband, Mr. Crawford. They've been to a theater in New York, and after they show, they come out and it's raining. Maybe some of you folks don't know what it's like to come out of a theater in New York on a rainy night. But believe me, it is really terrible. I went to a show in New York about 10 years ago with a family, and it was raining when we came out. Hundreds of people standing under that little marquee, all of them trying to get a taxi cab. Of course, there weren't near enough cabs to go around. Pretty soon, people were shaking their fists at each other. I almost got to fight myself. Anything to get a cab. Well, now, just imagine that Helen Broderick has been to the theater with her husband. It rains. Everybody gets a cab but this one poor fella, the husband. They're the only people left, and he's still trying. Here they are, Helen Broderick and her husband, Lester Crawford.
Mr.
taxi! Hey! Hey! Taxi! Taxi! Oh, you know, I would have had that one, only there were people in it. There was a man and a woman.
Maybe if you'd have asked them, they'd have got out.
Oh, no, I don't think they would have, because, you see, it's raining.
It is?
Yes.
Then that must be why we're waiting here.
Of course.
Well, I'll be darned.
Well, you know, there'll be another one along in a minute now.
Oh, don't bother. This is very comfortable.
You see, it's the rain. That's what makes it hard to get them.
You mean the other people got the taxicab. That's why we're having trouble.
Yes.
I see. Then my mistake was in not being with one of the other people.
Oh, but you couldn't be with them because who are they?
Something tells me we shouldn't go ahead with this.
Besides, they wouldn't be going where you are.
Now, let's go back to the beginning. We're coming out of the theater, and we want a taxi cab. Do you know why we want a taxi, Henry?
Yes, to go home in.
Well, that's good. It's better than I thought you'd do. But there's also another reason. Now, think hard.
Because it's raining.
That's right.
And if we didn't have a taxi, we might get wet.
There comes a time, Henry, when you should just rest on your laurels.
Well, I think it'll be clear tomorrow.
Well, isn't that fine? We'll probably get a cab very easily then.
Suppose I get down to the corner. Maybe there'll be one there.
You mean maybe there'll be a corner there?
No. I mean a taxi.
I just wanted to make sure with you. No, don't go. This is so cozy.
Well, it isn't my fault that there are not enough taxis.
No, it's mine. I know.
It's just that on rainy nights, other people want them.
You mean so they won't get wet?
Yes.
Yes, I think I understand that, Henry, but you won't explain it again, will you? Because you wouldn't want me to scream right out here on the sidewalk, would you?
Oh, you mean for a taxi?
I'll tell you what you do. You tell me again when we get home and I'll scream there.
Oh, guess what happened to me today?
You broke your slate pencil.
No. I mean at the club. You see, we were playing bridge, and it was my deal. No, wait a minute. It was Fred's deal. No, that's right. It was my deal, and my hand had seven spades. No, wait a minute. Eight spades.
You don't happen to have a chair in your pocket, do you?
Huh?
You know, Henry, there are times when I look at you and doubt my own judgment.
What?
Henry. Taxi cab?
Oh, there'll be one along in a minute now. Hey, here comes one now. Hey, taxi! Taxi! Oh, gee, there was a man in that one.
Just a man this time. Well, we're doing better.
You know, I could go down the street and get in one and bring it here, and there wouldn't be anybody in it.
Yes, there aren't many people could do that, Henry, but I think you're one of them.
Let me see. I had seven spades, ace, king, queen, and two little diamonds.
Henry. Woo-hoo. Do you remember the night we came out of the theater and it was raining? I do believe it's tonight.
King, queen, eight.
Oh, it must be wonderful to be married to a man who's able to do big things like getting taxi cabs, corner tables in restaurants, good seats when you go to the theater. Oh, yes. I meant to speak to you about that, Henry. What do you think would happen if our seats were really in the theater sometime instead of where they usually are?
Well, we would have had a cab easily if you'd only hurried. You're always the last one out of the theater.
Well, I'm the first one in anyhow. You take care of that. We usually pull in just ahead of the ushers.
Well, we weren't on time tonight. We missed the whole beginning of the opening chorus. And if I don't see the opening chorus, I can't understand the plot.
Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do, Henry. The next time we go to a show...
Hey, taxi! Taxi! Hey!
Oh, don't bother those men, Henry. Time everybody was turning in for the night. Oh, dear. This wouldn't be a bad place to live if we can find a nice school for the children in the neighborhood. Oh, any news at the office today? Oh, how's that stock you put my money into? I always meant to ask you about that, Henry. Didn't it go down a few hundred points or something?
It suffered a reaction.
Suffered a reaction. Oh, I see. I guess that's roughly the same as going down, isn't it? I mean, either way, you lose the money.
Well, you haven't lost it. It'll go up again.
Oh, but you'll sell before that, Henry, I'm sure. I remember when you bought it. Oh, you picked such a lovely time. It was so high, there was snow on it all the year round. I would say you were a bit of a genius, Henry. Mental giant, I called you. Oh, I suppose you're the watchman.
That's the position, Mum. I'm closing up the theater.
Of course. Well, tell me, is there a matinee tomorrow?
Well, there is that, Mum. 2:30 tomorrow afternoon.
Well, I call that perfect. Oh, would you mind if my husband and I just stayed in the theater?
Not at all.
Thank you. Come along, Henry. We're just in time. We're going to see the opening of the show. We're going to see the opening chorus.
Oh, what do you
yes,
think I've done?
To
it. I've done it.
There were
eight
all
things.
Night. You
Fanny,
to
I've
see
done
the
it.
Opening
I
chorus.
Forgot the ten in the morning.
Thank you, Miss Broderick. The poor fellow, I can never ever remember what cards I ever have in my hand either. Well, now, we've got Jack Stanton and Peggy Garden. They're going to present one of their beautiful duets, One Kiss from the New Moon. Go ahead. Everybody knows what this means.
It's a traffic jam. A lineup of cars. You move ahead a little way and then stop. You go a little farther and stop again. It's stop-and-go driving at its very worst. Actually, you're doing this kind of driving 80% of the time. 4 out of every 5 miles you drive are on short trips. You don't realize how often you stop and start and shift gears. Because you've got your mind on what you're going to get at the store, or you're thinking about whom you meet at the station, or at church, or at your club. Now, stop-and-go driving eats up a lot of gasoline unless you're using the kind that's specially adapted to it. For instance, while you're shifting gears on just 3 quick getaways, you can use up enough gasoline to carry you a mile. But now you can get a gasoline that cuts down this waste, that saves on stop-and-go driving. It's Super Shell. It's a new type gasoline, the first truly balanced gas. Super Shell gives you the three different kinds of power you need in just the right proportions. Power for quick starting, power for snappy pickup and hill climbing, and power for steady driving. Try using Super Shell for a while. You'll see you don't have to buy gasoline so often when you get Super Shell.
This is Wallace Beery again. We're back in Shell Chateau. The guests tonight are Helen Broderick, Harriet Hilliard, Chester Morris, Lorraine Bridges, and Bill Daniels. Those are the guests. But where would the old Shell Chateau be without Victor Young to lead the band? Victor really knows a lot about music. He really reads all those notes. He even knows just what the drummer's going to do before he does it. Doggone if I think the drummer knows. Well, Victor's going to play some tunes by a fellow named Cole Porter. The Sailor Boys are going to join in at the finish. Go ahead, shove off, Victor.
Thank you.
That was fine, Victor. That was fine. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to meet Harriet Hilliard. Harriet's been a radio star now for 3 years. She came to Hollywood from New York a few weeks ago. In case you don't know where New York is, that's on the outskirts of Glendale, outside of Los Angeles. She came under contract to RKO. And as soon as they saw her, they put her right into the new Fred Astaire picture, Follow the Fleet. So it won't be any time at all until she's a picture star, too. She's going to sing a song called Now You've Got Me Doing It. Miss Harriet Hilliard.
The minute I saw you, it was Follow the Leader. I never thought I'd fall so. 20 minutes later, I became an imitator. No matter what you do, I do all the show. You have a habit of walking without a direction. And now you've got me doing it. You have a habit of talking in terms of affection. And now you've got me doing it. You started a strange emotion, a thrill that I can't suppress. I'm ready to pledge devotion. What's the secret of your caress? You have a habit of dreaming for hours and hours. And now you've got me doing it. You have a habit of picking the petals off flowers. And now you've got me doing it. I thought that I could kiss you once and stop right there and then. But now you've got me doing it. Again. And now you've got me doing it. And now you've got me doing it. You started a strange emotion. A thrill that I can't suppress. I'm ready to pledge devotion. What's the secret of your caress? You have a habit of dreaming for hours and hours. And now you've got me doing it. You have a habit of picking the petals off flowers. And now you've got me doing it. I thought that I could kiss you once and stop right there and then. But now you've got me doing it again.
That was beautiful,
Harry. Oh, it's swell of you to say so, Wallace.
I've got you doing that. Hey,
Harry. Yes?
Would you mind letting me look at that bracelet you got dangling on your arm there? What's the doodad hanging on it?
Oh, that's my career bracelet. See, first there's this little trinket. That's a piano. The boys gave me that when I sang in the band.
In the band. They gave you the leader, too, didn't they?
A nice one, too. And then there's a microphone. Ozzy gave me that when we went on the air.
Oh, yeah, I get it.
And this little silver movie camera. Ozzy gave me that, too, when I started for Hollywood.
Sure. Well, all you need on the bracelet now is an elephant.
An elephant?
Sure, as a souvenir from me.
Oh, that'd be lovely, Wally. You stand here and help me sing.
Me? Help you sing?
Yeah. You have a habit of being for hours and hours. And now you've got me doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You have a habit of picking the petals off flowers. And now you've got me doing it.
Yeah.
I thought that I could kiss you once and stop right there and then.
What you thought?
But now you've got me doing it again. Thank you.
kind of period. Now we're going to present a play. An original play by Howard Emmett Rogers called Two Men Met at the Vale. It's a war play. I think that it has a message for every man who's ever been to war. For every boy who might go to war someday. And for every mother that has a son. I'm very happy, not only happy, but I'm very, very proud that my old friend Chester Morris, who worked opposite me in the big house, this year with me to not in the big house, this year we're going Two Men Met at the Vale to play. The scene is a battlefield in France. In no man's land between the German trenches and the American front line. The Americans have attacked a few hours before. The Germans have counterattacked, and no man's land is strewn with men of both armies who are dead and dying. Machine guns still spatter murderously at intervals. We also hear the distant sound of cannon fire. There is a big shell hole in the foreground, and now we see a man crawling into it. He is an American and is terribly wounded, almost substitution. He lowers himself painfully down one side of the crater. And just as he settles himself with a groan, another figure, that of a German, appears on the opposite side of the hole. The German, obviously, is also very badly hurt. The American looks up helplessly. Then he speaks to the German.
Oh. Who are you?
You didn't see me. Fine.
German, eh?
Yeah.
I wish I could help you, old fella, but I'm in pretty bad shape myself.
You are British, sir?
No. American.
No.
We are supposed to be enemies. Even now, when we are both dying, civilization has gone mad.
You're right. The whole world is doomed.
I'm bleeding so everywhere.
Don't take it up. I have an idea, old fella. If you and I put on our best manners, huh? And do death with a smile.
Yes.
The Legion Unconquerable.
Legion Unconquerable. Legion Unconquerable. I had a friend, a very dear friend, who used that very line in a poem that he...
I wrote that line once.
Alan! You are Alan McClure. Carl! Alan. It's so good to feel the clasp of your hand, Alan, even here.
I've thought of you often, Carl. And now we meet again. Imagine us, soldiers, enemies.
You and I who broke bread together.
Who lived together in the house of La Pichy in Montmartre.
There you wrote your poems.
And you composed your beautiful music.
And now, here we are, cut and bleeding. Oh, he's dying, dying together, Alan.
Let's take a pill! Oh,
Alan.
Take it easy, old fella. Where did they hit you?
All over. The arms, the legs, everywhere.
Are you hurt badly, Alan?
I feel like there's only half of me left. Oh, Alan. We should not be soldiers. Alan, it's so wrong. So wrong.
You miss your fair face and your fine soul. Why, Alan, you could not kill a man.
Oh, I hope to God I haven't.
I hope I haven't.
Oh, how are you, Colleen? Oh, I have received a letter from her just this morning.
Oh, don't do that, Carl, please. Buck up, I shouldn't have asked about her.
Oh, yes. Yes, you should. We both love her once.
Yes, but she chose a better man, Carl, and she married you.
No, it was because she went back to America, and I was there with her alone. I had the advantage. She's spoken of you so often back there in our little home in Berlin. Oh, she would be so happy if she knew that you were with me right now, Alan.
Oh, don't call. Don't give up. Why, you'll see her again. We'll both see her again soon. Well, we'll dine together in Paris at Louis. Just for three of us, as we used to.
No. This is the end. I know. Oh, I'm bleeding so. Yes. If I only had something to plug up the hole. The blood is running all over me, Helen.
Your emergency kit.
I lost it.
Yes. Mine's gone, too. Wait, I've got something here pinned to my undershirt. My mother gave it to me the day I sailed. It's just an American flag, but maybe that will help.
Oh.
There.
Yeah.
How's
yeah.
that?
Danke. But why? Why is everything getting so dark? I can't see Alan. Alan, I can't see you, Alan.
It's the dust, that's all, Carl. Just the dust, Kathleen.
No. Everything is black. Where are you, Alan?
Right here. Right here by your side.
Run. Alan, I know I'm dying, Alan. Hold me, Alan. Hey, Alan.
Easy, Carl.
Easy.
Rest your head here.
Ask if you like it. Only pray.
I know a prayer. I'll pray for both of us. Out of the depths. Oh, Lord God, hear my plea.
Helene, Alan is with me. Helene.
Our Father who art in heaven.
Our Father who art in heaven.
Hallowed be thy name.
Hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done. On earth. Carl.
Oh, God, go. Wait for me. Wait for me, Carl. I'm going with you. Holy Mary, Mother of God. Wait for us in this now. And at the hour of our death. Holy Mary, Mother of God. Wait for us in this now. And at the hour of our death.
Oh, for the love of... Take a look at those two guys. Lost in each other's arms. Down there. One of our boys and a wife.
Are they dead?
I'll tell them where they are. With a death grip on each other. Well, as that. Gee, I'll bet they fought each other like wild men.
The easiest way in the world to save money.
The easiest way to save money is to cut out waste. Then you save without giving up anything. That's why it's so much fun to use Super Shell. With this new type balanced gasoline, you can drive your car as much as ever without filling up the tank so often. Super Shell is the first gasoline specially adapted to the stop and go driving you're doing 80% of the time. It takes less of it to make all those starts and getaways you're making all the time in everyday driving. You see, Super Shell gives you the three kinds of power you need, as well as for long, steady driving. Begin tomorrow to get this saving. You can get Super Shell anywhere, at any of the 30,000 neighborly Shell stations from coast to coast.
And now you'll hear one of Victor Young's own compositions, Fascination. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, but I know you'll all be with us next Saturday. Next week, we're going to present Patsy Kelly, the charming young picture comedian. Alan Jones, one of Hollywood's most prominent young singing stars. Sigmund Spaeth, radio's famous tune detective. And William T. Tilden, the second, the greatest tennis player who ever lived, and the present professional champion of the United States. And by special request from a great many of you folks, little Judy Garland, the 12-year-old singer that we had with us a few weeks ago. Also, we're going to present that famous one-act play, The Valiant.
Wally Berry saying good night. Thank you. Next week at this same hour, when Wally Berry presents Patsy Kelly, William T. Tilden II, Sigmund Faith, Judy Garland, Alan Jones, and The Valiant. Musical selections on this program included Night and Day from The Gay Divorcee, All Through the Night from Anything Goes, Love for Sale from The New Yorkers, and I'd Rather Listen to Your Eyes, I'd Love to Take Orders from You, and Don't Give Up the Ship from Shipmate Forever. This program has come to you from the NBC studios in Hollywood, California. Your announcer, Burton Bennett. This is the National Broadcasting Company. Thank you.